Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that in Christ Jesus I can approach you boldly, knowing that all my requests will be answered, that all your will for me will be done. I thank you, Father, for that precious right in Christ Jesus, for it's in his name that I pray and receive. Amen. We have a special message this evening in Luke 11. It's dedicated to a very special group of people. And the special group, I'm assuming there are at least one of you here. Not one of us, but one of you. And this message is going to be dedicated to you Christians that have been here a while and really do honestly want to change. You just somehow don't understand quite how it ought to be done yet. Also for those Christians that know how already, but somehow it's not the Lord's will yet. So you're ready and I'm ready and Jesus is not ready yet. This is also for those Christians among you who have done everything just the way God asks and it's still not working. So tonight it's time to find out what happened. Somebody doesn't know what they're doing here. Now we only have three choices. The Lord Jesus Christ, Reuben A. Galvis, or thou. I think it'll become abundantly clear to you that thou is the one. Let's read verse 9 of chapter 11. And I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then he strengthens it. He says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Not some, not sometime, not in his good time, not after you understand. He said, everyone that asks, seeks and knocks, receives. It says, everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. That's a very strong statement from the Lord Jesus Christ. But like the people there, you're already thinking, well, yeah, but I know I've tried and I know I'm willing. Drop down to verse 17. But he, knowing their thoughts, one of these days you're going to get the point here. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Now Jesus, knowing your thoughts, says, consider this. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom is brought to desolation. Obviously, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said these words about 2,000 years ago, and if you have any brains at all, you'll know that the kingdom of God is not brought to desolation. Well, then he says, well, if the kingdom of God isn't brought to desolation, well, let's see, something else must be divided here then. The house divided against a house falleth. So what is the problem? Why is it that you haven't received and all these things haven't happened? Divided. A house divided against a house falleth. A house in which the husband is trying to get away with as much as he can by strictly holding everyone else to the rules is divided. A house in which the wife is trying to get away as much as she can by finding as much fault as she can in him is a house divided. And the fall of that house is pretty significant. What it basically means is when you ask, it won't be given. When you seek, you won't find. When you knock, it won't be opened. Now, Jesus is saying one of two things. He said that, so it's got to be true. If it doesn't work every single time, then the kingdom is divided against itself. But if it does work every time, then your house is divided against itself. And I know that you've been to many churches as I have where they say, oh, Jesus, isn't it wonderful? Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So just keep knocking, brother. Just keep hanging in there. Just keep asking. Ask, ask, ask. And it shall be given you, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. I asked a preacher once, what is it? It. Well, see, I want to know what it is before I ask for it. Not that I doubt that God's going to do right, but you see, if I don't know what it is, when I find it, how do I know I found it if I don't know what it is? You know, your it might be right in front of you, and you don't even know because you don't know what an it is. The more important question, though, is how do you get it? Because if you do what he says, then you've got it. You may not know you've got it, but you've got it. So we have to know three things. Ask, seek, and knock. Three things you have to do with three results. Those three things you need to do are characteristic, and they're things that one task for your body, one for your soul, and one for your spirit, and then one reward for each one of them. So now, why is it that you can't quit what you want to quit? Why is it that you pontificate? I'm going to have to buy you a Jeep with the glass bubble on the back of it. Yes, yeah, so that when you ride down the street, you can stand while your wife drives and you can go like this. You know, I don't know what it means when he goes like this. But anyway, that's called the Pope Mobile. It's a little Jeep with a glass thing on the top so everybody can see them. In your case, I added an O and forgot the E. So now we're going to fashion your poop mobile. Because you're full of it. The reason it hasn't been given you is because you haven't asked. The reason you can't find it because you're not looking, you're not seeking. The reason it's not open is because you haven't knocked. Now I'm going to assume for the sake of our conversation this evening that it's because you don't know how, although I've explained it every way that I knew how. But thank God he's given me another way to explain it now. So the first thing we have to do, now this is Jesus speaking, he says, you better ask. I don't know of any Christians that know how to ask according to the Word of God, because I've never heard this before. The word ask comes from a Greek word that means to ask, to beg, to crave, to desire, and to require. There's a whole lot more to it than just say, may I, or Simon says. So for you to understand why you're not where you want to be or you say you want to be, I'm going to tell you why. If you still don't do this, then why don't you come to grips with the fact that you just don't want to? And save my time and please don't call me until you do. The word ask means to use words in seeking the answer to a question. You see, the reason you don't have anything given to you is that you don't use words in seeking the answer to a question. When you call, you already know what the problem is. And you already know who's to blame, and it's not you. So you see, the first thing, the prerequisite of asking, is to use words in articulating the question. Now, if you have the question and you're asking the question, then it ought to be obvious to you, you don't know the answer. The problem is, the minute I tell you the answer, then you no longer have the question, now you know the answer, which is different than the one that I gave you. Well, if you already knew the answer, which was different than the one I'm going to give you, don't call me. Try your own answer, and when you poop in the poop mobile, then call me. You really have no question about yourself. You can hardly wait to counsel as soon as you got enough of a case built up against your wife, or vice versa, or against some brother or sister in the church. So you don't use the words in seeking the answer to a question because you think you already know. Now, once you know that you have the question and not the answer, the next definition of the word ask, and these are the things you have to do, by the way. First, you have to understand you don't know. And then you got to beg. Beg means to ask for as charity or a gift. You don't deserve the answer. You don't even want it. So the next thing to do is ask for as charity or a gift. To ask for as a kindness or a favor. In other words, you're never going to ask for this as a gift, as kindness, as a favor, as long as you think you didn't do anything wrong and you're seeking to straighten somebody else up. Why do we need to do you a favor if you're already right? Beg also means to ask earnestly and humbly. You see, you're never going to do that. And you haven't done that because, first of all, you don't have a question. And secondarily, you're not asking for this as a gift or as a kindness because you don't think there's anything wrong with you. So first you ask, and then you beg, and then you crave. Now, crave is an important word because you certainly know how to crave. I've watched how you eat. I've watched what you talk about. I know you know how to crave. You just don't crave right. Crave means to demand as right. Understand this. First, you have a question. You get an answer. You ask for it as charity or a gift. You know you don't deserve it. And then you demand or you accept that as right. See, the problem with most Christians is what they're asking for isn't right. So you know how to ask, you just don't know how to ask for what's right. Right means that's in accordance with fact and reason and truth and justice and law and morality. Now, how can it be right if you're doing something you're criticizing someone else for doing? You're not craving it then. And the reason you don't crave it, by the way, is every time you hear how in accordance with fact, reason, truth, justice, law, and morality, what you said about your wife, you're right. Here's the problem. It also applies to you, and you don't like to hear it. It's not so much that you're so protective of your wife or vice versa. It's easy to demand as right that someone else do right, but the minute you do it, and it happens to me all the time, there's a little voice in there that says, how about you? That applies to you too. So you see that when you start craving something, you'll demand something that's right. And that means you'll start asking and craving things that are in accordance with fact, reason, truth, justice, law, and morality. Well, that leaves out 99% of your prayers, 100% of your complaints and counseling. And understand this, we're only on the first word. He said, look, you have to ask first before it's given. Well, you don't even know how to ask. You don't even know what you're asking for, but you don't even know how to ask. Okay, so now we demand it as right. Now ask means to desire. In other words, understand how this is going now. You get a craving, and it's always for right. Then you start getting a desire. Understand what's happening. It is not easy. it is not easy for you to convince me. In fact, it's impossible for you to convince me that being right is hard. That being blessed is too difficult. That it's easier to be stupid and depressed and angry and upset and in poverty. You cannot convince me that that's easier. Well, I know you asked, begged, and craved that because you got it. So you see, the issue isn't whether you know how. The issue is, do you know what you're asking for? Well, now you desire. Desire means to wish for and to covet. Now I'm going to prove to you, you cannot ask of God without some help. Because now we come to desire part. Desire is the last part of asking. But you know what desire means besides to wish for? It means to covet. To long for with envy. So you got to have that feeling of desire for what's right. Well, how do you get that feeling? Envy. Envy means a feeling of discontent and ill will because of another's advantages and possessions. Desire for some advantages or quality that another has. In other words, what it boils down to is God has to bless you with someone who has advantages and possessions and qualities that you want. You don't have them, but you want them. See, that's why you can't help anybody, because you have nothing to envy. See, you go around preaching and giving advice and trying this and trying to help your wife and your children, and you can't do it because you got nothing they want. You have no advantages. You're into your own mess. You can't say no to yourself, and neither can they. So what do you have that they crave? What do you have that they're envious of? Nothing. Because they already got some. Guess what? They got it from you or through you. So you see, here's what the important thing. He says, part of this asking process culminates in God giving you someone who has what you're asking for. And isn't that great on his part? So that you can see how it works, you can see if it works and how it works, and you can say, there it is. In other words, send me a guinea pig, Lord. When you ask earnestly, you will have someone in your life who has the advantages and the qualities that you're asking for. We're still all right, aren't we? Up to this point, you have it, don't you? Well, then there's one more requirement after desire. Require. Do you remember what require means? And this is just in asking the first part. Require comes from two words, re, which means again, and quare, arere, which is where we get the word query, which means to ask. So require means ask again. Well, we already asked. But he's saying to ask again. Well, what is he, hard of hearing? Or maybe he's stubborn. Ask again in a different way. Now require means to ask or insist upon as by right or authority. We ain't begging no more, are we? See, you didn't put your tin cup away. You're still a beggar waiting for the... And that was good in its proper place. But the minute God gave you someone... And that's why you hate each other, by the way. You ask for something and God sends you someone and says, she has it here. Well, see, he didn't bring this individual to you so that you could hate them. He brought this individual and made you aware of the advantage they have that you want so that you can understand that it's available. You certainly know that he or she is as much a sinner as you are. And if God gave it to them, then why not you? But instead of looking at it that way, you look upon it as some lightning bolt from heaven telling you how horrible you are and how wonderful this other person is that you hate. And all he's done is brought to you the advantage and the quality that you're seeking in living color. See, even the blessings have to be manifest. Everything has to be made flesh. Again, I'm kidding. The sermon has to be made flesh. A man has to speak it. The blessings that you ask for, they're made flesh, and you see them in someone. The problem is, you get upset and angry at that individual. Instead of saying, no, I require it. She's got it, I have a right to. He received it, I have a right to. I ask or insist upon as by right or authority. Require also means to call for as necessary and appropriate. And the last part of require means to demand by virtue of a law. So here's what ask really means. First, use words. Don't scream and holler. Don't get depressed. You're not going to impress God by rolling in the aisles. You're certainly not going to impress God by locking yourself in your apartment all week, moaning and groaning. Use words, not emotions. Secondarily, have a question. Third, know that this is charity or a gift. You don't deserve this. Four, ask humbly. Five, ask for what's right, according to fact and reason and truth. Six, long for what's right. Seven, envy someone who has that right that you want. And then eight, new beginnings. Demand by virtue of the law. In Jesus' name. The law says, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Well, you see, everybody throws his name around, but they forget the first seven steps. You want to jump right away to say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, you ain't got nothing yet. Why? Because you refuse the first seven steps. Now, incidentally, all that I'm saying to you this evening is not new. Different scripture, different way of putting it, but hammering the same point again. So now we can demand by virtue of a law. Now you have a right. Well, let's assume that we got to this point and say, oh boy, now I know how to do it. Now it shall be given. Yes, it will. Now we have to find out what it is. This is the part you're not going to like. Whatever is given is the it. See, you can't give you something that's different than the it. So ask and it shall be given. So whatever is given is the it. The word given from the Greek means to deliver and offer and a minister. So what does God say? Ask, and then I'll give you a minister. Ah, I didn't know that was going to be the gift. No, it isn't. It's the channel by which the gift is coming. Without the minister, you get nothing. Now, the minister has three functions. One, deliver, two, offer, and three, minister. That's what the word given means. It shall be given. What? Something is delivered. Something is offered back. See, I deliver something to you, you offer something to God, and that's how I minister. Well, the first thing that has to happen, this is given now. Ask and it shall be given. Well, what is it? Deliver. To give forth or express in words. A sermon. To make a speech or a pronouncement. A sermon. To set free or save from evil or danger. A sermon. So I deliver you words that set you free and save you from evil and danger. But we're still only at words. See, you want the gift right away. If God was in the Hallmark business, the card would be... company would be broke. You don't open the card. You're not interested in the words. You tear the package. You don't want them. Just give me the gift. Show a little class and read the card at least, will you? So he says, if you ask the way the preacher's just told you, the first thing I'm going to give you is words to set you free and to save you from evil and danger. But I wanted a job for... No. That's coming. You've got to be set free first. Because it's the evil and the danger that's keeping you from having what God gave you in the first place. You have to be delivered first. Well, now as soon as I deliver you words that save you from evil or danger, it's time to make an offering. Offer means to offer to God a sacrifice. To present to God in an act of worship. Well, what does God want from you? Your money? No. Your time? Even if he did, you don't give that. What does he want from you? Truth. Confession. Offer means to indicate or express one willingness or intention to do something. And finally, to make an attempt. See, all God's asking, make an attempt, will you? So what are we talking about? Confession, profession, and then proceed. Well, now that you're ready and you say, oh, yes, I love the message and I want to offer the Lord the truth and I want to make a sacrifice, well, now it's time for the minister. See, because these things didn't come to you out of the clear blue sky. Minister means a Christian teacher, a person acting for another as his agent and carrying out his orders and his designs. You've got to stop looking at me as someone you can pick and choose and call whenever you're in the damn mood to do it. You've got to start looking at me as someone that God sent you because you need. And you've got to look at me as someone that God sent to you, not when you feel it's time, but every day. Why do I say that? Because that's how I look at you. And it's hard to look at you as a blessing, by the way. And some might say this man needs to have his head examined when he says, I need you every day. And you're a gift from God. We'll talk about that when I see him someday, but I'm going to take his word. You're a gift. Minister means any person thought of as serving as the agent of some power or force. See, you look at me as someone that you just wind me up whenever you're in the mood. And you tell me whatever you want me to know, and I already know. See, the only thing you're doing when you tell me half truths is you confirm what I already know. You're a big liar. And then the last part of the word minister means to give help to and to attend to the needs of. So what is God saying? The first thing he says, if you learn how to ask, the first thing I'm going to give you is a minister. Now, without a minister, you can't go anywhere. And a minister can't go anywhere without someone to minister to. So I'm just as lost without you as you are without me. Well, now that we're together, hopefully, it's time to seek. Hopefully you've learned what my position is and what yours is. So now it's time to seek. The word seek means a search in words. In other words, divine. A word search. That's what I do. I go through this Bible. I go through the dictionary. I make a word search in words. For what? Seek means to seek means. What does means mean? That by which something is done or obtain resources. In other words, he says, now that you've accepted the minister, now, in the word search, he's going to give you the means, the how, by what you can get this done, the resources. Now, what are the resources? The first one was kind of a bummer. Given meant the minister. Let's find out what now we're seeking. All right, so we have to put up with the word search. And so we're looking for the means now. Now God's going to give us the way we can do what you say you want to do. He says, seek and ye shall find. Find what? It. What? The means. Okay, let's find out what find means. One, it means obtain, perceive, and see. Three things again. So now the first thing is to do is to obtain. We don't know what yet. First one was a minister. Now we got to obtain something. Obtain means to get possession of by some effort. It's finally time for you to start participating in this. So first you get possession of by expending some effort. And second, this is what find means. Now remember the first one given meant a minister. Now we're going to get the means. We're going to get possession. We're going to get possession by some effort. Possession of what? Perceive. The second word is obtain and then perceive. Perceive means to comprehend, to grasp mentally. See, in the first instance, he gave you something, a minister to give you the right words. Now you got to understand them. So perceive means to comprehend, to grasp mentally, to become aware. Wake up. To become aware of through sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. The five senses, not the five emotions. So basically, perceive means to see. Well, see has two definitions. This is what find means. It means you're going to find a see. See means to accept as right, proper, or suitable. See, you're going to grasp it mentally. You're going to say, oh. Then you finally understand it. Now, most of you at this point, you say, I hate that. What does he know? See, no, you're at this point, then you're going to accept this right, proper, suitable, and say, oh, that's right. See, number one, means to come in contact with, to have an interview with, to consult with. So see means to have contact with, to have an interview with, and to consult with. Consult with what? A C. C number two. C means the official seat or center of authority of a bishop. Another minister. The position, authority, or jurisdiction of a bishop. In other words, seek in words and you see a C. What's the first thing that God wants you to comprehend then? What's it is that he wants you to get? Now that you've grasped it mentally, you've got to see that it's coming from a see. The official seat or center of authority of a bishop, not the bishop, the seat or center of his authority, the gospel, Jesus Christ. You've got to understand this is directly from God. It has nothing to do with me as an author. See means the position, authority, or jurisdiction of a bishop. In other words, he says, the first thing you have to see is that this isn't Reuben Galvez speaking. You have to see that this is God you're saying no to, or yes. And until you see that, you're going to be saying yes, no, maybe, or something in between for the rest of your life, because you think it's me talking. That's what you're going to find. And if you haven't found that yet, you ain't going nowhere. So the first thing he says, ask, and it shall be given. A minister, the words will be given to you. Seek, then search in the words for the means to obtain and comprehend and grasp mentally. What? How wonderful I am, how to be delivered? No. To grasp mentally that this is coming officially from God himself. That this isn't coming from some individual who just happened to be around, who happens to be blessed with a reasonably good speaking voice, and who likes to do this. To accept as right, proper, or suitable the official seat or center of authority of a bishop. It's the same difficulty they had with Jesus. Nice man, giving us a lot of fish and bread, but who does he think he is? I'll tell you, as the Son of the Living God, that's who he is. And I'll tell you something else. Standing before you is a son of the living God. That's who I is. And what is you? If I see a plate glass enclosure on your car on the way home, if you have a sunroof, just stand up. Or a convertible, just stand up on the way home. Have somebody else drive you and go like this all the way. Seek and you shall find. You'll grasp mentally that this is officially from God. And you'll also accept it as right, proper, and suitable with. And that's why you want to come in contact with, have an interview with, and consult with. Because you see, everything that's wrong in your life, it's because you came in contact with something or someone that you had an interview with, that you consulted with, and they taught you how to be the idiot that you are. Now, if that's the procedure that it took for you to get where you're at, that's the same procedure it's going to take to get you out, only you need to see a different C. CC. You're supposed to say, not amen, CC. Well, now we have to say, okay, now, well, finally, now we'll get to knock, and it shall be open to you. Maybe finally now we start getting the good stuff. Got a minister and now a bishop. What is it with this Lord? He just seems to be all for Rube. Thank you. Now he says, if you got this far, now that you understand this is officially God talking, something's going to happen to you. You'll knock, and it shall be opened. What does knock mean? It means to rap. Now, when I looked up the word rap, there were three definitions. The first two were colloquialisms, which means modern English. It just means using that word in a different way. There was only one archaic word, one original word, rap three. The first two were just means to talk and do this, and it had nothing to do with the original meaning of the word. The only definition of the word rap, which is knock. In other words, after you find out all these great things, the truth, and it's coming from a minister, and this minister is sent officially from God, which means his words cannot fail because God's kingdom hasn't come to desolation and won't come. He says, now you'll knock. When you understand this, you'll knock. You'll rap. Now, the reason nothing's open to you is because you ain't rapping. Well, what does rap mean? To transport with rapture. Well, what does rapture mean, or rapt? Carried away with joy and love. In other words, he says, until you fall in love with the fact that God has sent you a living human being to minister to your needs, and you are transported with joy, carried away with joy and love over that fact, you get nothing. That's the same problem the scribes and the Pharisees had. They weren't carried away with joy and love at the fact that God happened to come in this person called Jesus and not through them. He says, if you accept the first two, you'll become rapt. Rapt means completely absorbed or engrossed in the study and the meditation of. This will become second nature to you. You'll do it all the time. You'll always have your mind on this. And I finally realized, Lord, that's what happens to me. Carried away with joy and love. Not that the truth makes me look good, just the opposite. The truth tells me it's them that's doing it. And if I separate me from them, then that's something to be happy about. Well, see, the problem with you is the minute I say something you don't like, there ain't no more rapture, is there? You're no longer carried away with joy and love. You're no longer in rapture. In other words, you just flat don't like it. you start wandering, your mind starts wanting to think of, if you can think of something more brilliant and more interesting. Maybe you can as soon as you get in your Jeep and drive down the street. You see, because it's easy to do that because all you have to do is this, and everybody says, oh, isn't that wonderful? What if I came to church and I said, well, here I am. Oh, I wonder what we're going to hear from the Lord. And then you all wave your handkerchiefs at me and say, oh, the Pope, the Papa, the Poop. And I just go like this. And then I leave. That's an easy job. You know that? He just wants you, and then once in a while, I'll really bless you and do one of these. Now, I give you the words, the result of the search in words. And he said, look, if you ask the right way like we've defined, I'll give you a minister. If you seek, you shall find. You shall find the fact that these words from the minister come officially from God. And they're exactly what you need when you need it. And when I say to you, you are never going to come out of your junk and your habits any other way, you better take that to the bank, friend. But he said, if that's the case, and you accept it up to this point, you'll be enraptured by it. Rapture means an expression of great joy and pleasure. In other words, it's a joy to see a sea. It's a pleasure to have a sea. It's a pleasure to know that God is leading us. See, it's just as much a pleasure for me to be a sea. Because you see, if I'm a sea, and you see a sea, and I see Luke as my sea, then we all see. See? See, see! This is not that hard, by the way. Rapture also means being carried away in body or spirit by great joy or pleasure. Well, that sounds weird, Brother Reuben. Being carried away in body and spirit. But you do that all the time with anger. Your anger carries you away, body, soul, and spirit, fool. Well, not me, Brother Reuben. No, you live in the with the rats under the sink in your depression. You're carried away, body and spirit, by your depression, and some of you by jealousy and anger. But you see, you're enraptured with everything that's wrong. Well, why are you carried away by anger, depression, jealousy, and all those wrong? You have no see. You're blind. So you're carried away either way. See, that's why you get that uncontrollable desire to poison yourself. It doesn't matter how much you know about the wrongness of what you're doing, you're going to do it anyway. For the simple reason that you don't see the sea. You don't see eye to eye with me. And you're not happy, by the way, about the fact that God is speaking to you. And you certainly have no joy and pleasure in it, because God doesn't treat you like mommy and daddy did. So you see, up to this point, what is God really saying that separates you from the living God, you from all his joy and pleasure, to the degree that you do not see me as his representative? To that degree, you have nothing. Now, you be honest with yourself now. Everywhere you have agreed with what I told you out of this book, your life has changed. Everywhere where you were happy to hear this, raptured to hear this, your life has changed. And everywhere that you weren't happy to hear it, your life hasn't changed, and it won't. So you continue to be carried away, body and spirit, by all your wrong, when you could in fact be carried away, body and spirit, by everything that's right. Because what have I told you? I said, nothing by shall any means hurt you. All your needs will be provided. By his stripes we are healed. And a whole lot of other things. And you'd be carried away by those things. But no. No, no. You think you know better. And you know the irony of it with most of you? I tell you something as I see it, and your children say, no, I see it this way, and you go with your children. And that's why you act like a child. And that's why your children, by the way, have no respect for you whatsoever. None. And the more you try to coddle them, the more you try to curry their favor, the worse they become. And after a while, you can't stand your own kids. Let me give you a hot news flash. The rest of us can't stand them long before you can. Long before you can. You're making them pathetic, despicable, repulsive rugrats. And it's sad because they were intended to be a blessing to you and everyone else. But I can't stand your kids. They're repulsive. They're disobedient. But that's the way you see it. And the reason they're that way with you is that's the way you are with God. And so your children look at you and say, what do you know? Oh, we're going to Universal Studios. Oh, bless God, Daddy dear, you're the most wonderful, smartest man in the world. Oh, yes, what a dad I've got. Bedtime? What the hell are you talking about, old man? What do you mean, bedtime? Well, I've been on this earth all of 7 years now, and don't you realize what you're... What are you talking about, stupid? Oh, I know they don't say that literally to you, but see, I have ears that you don't have.
But see, I speak in tongues. I understand what... You don't understand. I do. They're calling you everything but your name.
Amen.
See, we've got to communicate here. You don't understand what's going on. Thou art but a child. And the only choice we really have as human beings on this world is what's going to carry you away. I mean, that's right. What are you going to do? Sit in the bathroom and say, oh, carry me away, Calga. Remember the commercial? You'll be singing this all the time. We need more Calgon. It's because you'll always be out of it. Why you can be out of it when you're so full of it, I don't understand. But you're always out of it. An expression of great joy and pleasure. You know what it really boils down to? Whatever you express great joy or pleasure with is what carries you away. If it's a drunken spirit, drunk on depression, drunk on fear. You know, one of the worst things is some of you are hooked on fear. Drunk on fear, addicted to fear. And it carries you away. In body and spirit. You're raptured. You're carried away with hate and criticism, completely absorbed and engrossed in the study, the meditation of being unhappy. So you've got it all backwards. Well, now what the Lord is saying here, if you ask, humbly now, with words, it shall be given you. I'll send you a minister. And if you then seek, you shall find. That minister you'll find is sent from me. And then you'll be glad. You'll be full of joy and pleasure. And then it shall be opened unto you. Well, now we finally come to a different it. This it is you. You need to be opened. The word opened from the Greek means to open up. Now this word open is where you get, see, this is really where God's going to put you. You thought it meant Cadillac cars and husbands from heaven and wives from hell or wherever they come. You thought it was going to be material thing. No, he said, knock and it shall be opened. In other words, you need to be opened. Well, what does open mean? Yes. Amen. Listen to me, child. Come forth. Open means an estate which permits access, entrance, or exit. In other words, yeah, that's true. That's exactly right. Now, present company included. Whenever you're not open for access, entrance, or exit, something's clogged. You have clogged brains, clogged colons, clogged urinary tract, clogged intestines. I mean, you're clogged. You ain't open, friend. You're not in a state which permits access. Can't get to you. You don't permit entrance and you don't permit exit. So what is it? You don't permit the truth to come in and you don't allow the truth, the lie to go out. You're not open. Says, I'm going to put you in a state which permits access. Well, by who? By this minister and the words that were sent officially from God now have access to you. In other words, you got to be happy about it before you get it, don't you? Here we go again with that famous word, faith. It says you'll be in a state, you'll be open, you'll be in a position which permits access, entrance, and exit. Open also means in a state which permits freedom of view. See, your problem is you've only had one view. And this is going to give you the freedom to look back and see it the way that it is, in its completeness, in its totality. See, Jesus ain't going to do nothing. He's not going to come down and move you and do things. He's going to put you in a position where you can do it. You keep calling and say, what should I do? Do you want me to do this? Should I send him to you? Do you want to do this? No, I want to help you so that you can learn how to do it. And that's why you have to be in a state which permits freedom of view. You got to see it the way it is. Open also means in a state which permits freedom of view without covering. No more excuses. I can't. I'm too busy. I don't understand. Later on, I'm not ready yet. It's too hard. In a state which permits freedom of view without covering. Freedom of view might mean I don't want to. I'm not ready. I'm a hypocrite. I'm a liar. And I'm trying to get my wife to change and I don't want to. I'm pathetic. I'm miserable. Hey, that's at least true. Free means also free to be entered. In other words, he says, look, all this that I've sent you, even though it's from me and it's official, still needs your permission. So open means free to be entered and ready to admit. Ready to admit the truth and ready to admit what was in there in place of the truth. Open means free from prejudice or bigotry. Prejudice always, you're right and everybody else is wrong. Prejudging everything and everybody. The minute we start reading the scripture, you already know what I'm going to say. You already heard this before. You already know. And you've got some other things that are so much more important to think about. Man, that's prejudiced. Never. Visit from the ghost of Martin Luther King tonight, if it serve you right. You're prejudiced. You're a bigot. Now, sometimes I feel like marching in front of your house with signs. You're a bigot. You really think you know. Open means not closed to new ideas. See, and what is your problem? You've been closed to new ideas. Everything you learn, the way you learn it, you're still doing it. Anything new doesn't fly with you. Open also means something else. It means to be enforced or operation. See, you can't be open if you're out to lunch. So you're always closed. That's why you can't make no money. That's why you can't get, you're always closed. Now any businessman will tell you, you want to make money, you've got to open. Open means free to be accepted or rejected. Boy, there's a big one right there. The reality that everything you're dealing with, you're free to accept it or reject it. That'll make a believer out of you when you accept it anyway. At least it'll take the excuses out of your fat mouth. An understanding that you're free to accept and free to reject. You can make no more excuses. Is it any wonder you're not too thrilled about this? Right. Open also means not hidden or secret anymore. Frank and honest. And I like this one. Open means not closed at the top. Open also means not muted. Huh? I don't know. No more of that. Here's what I like about open too, and this is something I've been trying to do with every single one of you. Open means to make spaces in between. See, you figure things out and you give me your story and you've got it all lined up. But see, what you did is you left out some things here and there. And then once you got it all together and you left out what you want, and then you squished it all together and it looked good. And then I look at it and say, no. That's an open space. He's got it figured out again. See, I make spaces between your story. Why? To expose. Open means to make spaces between in order to expose. So you see, every time I tell you, we got to go back in your life. When you say, oh, well, I had a very nice childhood. And yes, there was a few problems, but nothing major. And no. There's spaces in between there. And the reason I know there's space is because I see you're not acting according to what you told me this blessed childhood of yours was all about. So we make spaces between in order to expose. Expose what? That there's holes in your story. Spaces in between your story. And you better get this part or you're never going to have this problem undone with whatever your problem is. Heard this evening that one of the richest men, certainly a lot of money, Sammy Davis, died of throat cancer because he thought that he could continue to smoke as long as he wanted, and it killed him. Killed him dead. The reports that I heard, some were conflicting, that he was down to 60 pounds. It was a long, lingering, painful, depressing, excruciating, lingering, difficult, repulsive, horrible death. If he had it to do over again, what do you want to bet he wouldn't smoke? He can see it now, can't he? He can understand it now, can't he? Isn't it sad that people have to wait that long? Open means to undo, to recall, set aside, so as to leave the matter open to further discussion or further action. So what is God saying? He says, I want to put you in a position in which you permit access, entrance, and exit. I want to put you in a position that permits you freedom of view. I want to put you in a position that you're free from prejudice. open or not closed to new ideas, free to accept or reject, no hidden secrets, frank and honest, not closed at the top, not muted. Let's talk. And it means to make spaces between in order to expose. And then here's the final part, and then we're done. Why would God give us all this? What does he want us to do with all this information, with all this that I preach and teach? What is it for? To undo by recalling and setting aside so as to leave the matter open to further action. So you can change. So what do you have to do? Undo. How? By recalling. What do you do when you recall? Set it aside. In other words, this isn't you. Set aside means to put something beside you, divide you, separate you from it. Well, why? You learn the sin. You say, God loves sinners, but he hates sin. God died for the sin. No, he died for the sinner. So you see, you have to undo by recalling and setting aside so to leave the matter open to further action. In other words, your action is going to stay the same as long as you keep pooping on me and thinking you already know. And you try to change, and you have. I thank God for the areas you've changed in. But man, you're doing overkill in some of those areas. Why? Because it takes a lot of effort. You say, well, I'm doing this. I'm giving my wife more, and I'm doing this for me. Oh, I know you are. I know you are. That's good. But you're using it for a covering to not do the things that are still undone. Now, Jesus said this, and I'm going to leave you with this. He said, you better take this as gospel, friend. For every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. So if I'm not telling you the truth, the kingdom of God is going to come to desolation, or your house is going to fall. Now you decide which is more likely to happen. Is the kingdom of God going to come to desolation, or is your house going to fall? Boy, if you don't know the answer to that, we're going to have to put you in special ed. And I will. If I have to, I'm going to start a special ed class. I hope you get the importance of this. Your time to play around with this thing and think you can hang it all on a thread is about over, friend. You either better start hoping that you're right, in which case the kingdom of God is going to come to desolation, in which we're all down the tubes then, or you better get it together or your house is going to fall. And if you don't think I know what I'm talking about, you talk to the people that I've told this to before whose houses fell. And if you think you're an exception, you better wake up. You better wake up, and you better wake up fast. This is official message. This is official word. I'm not here just to kill time. I'm not here just because I have nothing better to do. I'm here to bless you or warn you. And how you take it, how you view it, how you accept it is entirely up to you. But I'm not playing games anymore. If you don't see me here with official authority and power, then let's see. Either I'm lying and you're going to go on fine and nothing's going to happen, or I'm telling the truth and you're in for a few difficulties. Now, if you want to let experience prove to you who's right, you go right ahead. Or in the words of Joan Rivers, can we talk? And the choice is yours. But you better understand who you're talking to, because I certainly understand who I'm talking about. And as long as we keep that straight, we're going to be just fine. And you already know in every area that you've accepted me as the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ, by checking and making sure that what I'm telling you is out of this Bible, your life has changed. And every one of those areas where you're still moaning and groaning and making excuses and trying to say, Reuben, we need to talk again. I don't know. No, it's time for us to start doing. It's time for you to start doing some action. See, that isn't going to happen because you won't even accept me as being the authority sent by God. Well, if I'm not, then who? Has God left you without one? Well, if he has, then what you need to ask for is that he sends you one. Of course, I know what you're going to do with him when he gets here. Same thing you've done with me. I don't believe he's going to send you another one. I think it's time for either, if you're right, desolation. God, they have decided desolation for your kingdom. If he's right, you're going to think your house is made of Lincoln logs. Oh, we can pick up the pieces, all right. But it's a lot smarter not to let it fall. And fall can have an awful connotation. I wish I'd have had time tonight. I'd have told you what you're in for. I think it was enough to tell you how not to get in for it. If you don't want to, the choice is yours. I've done my job. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer?